Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Pop it in.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Doesn't matter what my family did to you. It just matters that I love it.
what's next.
A man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair mask, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle, and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
Favorite guest? I've been asked who my favorite guest is, or who were some of the interviews that really kind of stick out with you, or some kind of variation thereof. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to say, in honor of looking at our big milestone of the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's given me some time to reflect, and I wanted to share some of these reflections with you guys, the fans of the broadcast. Let me say, thinking about guests, it gives me that doing the Hair Radio Morning Show is a great joy, because I get to live out, meeting my heroes, growing up and listening to amazing singers, watching amazing television actors and movie stars, and then getting an opportunity to literally talk to them, and they know my name. It's been extraordinary. And so to think, some of the most influential artists of our time, we've had an opportunity to welcome right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Folks like, of course, the legendary multi-Grammy award-winning We Are the World singer, Miss Dionne Warwick, who worked, of course, on that project with Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Tina Turner, Cyndi Lauper, Diana Ross. The list just goes on and on and on. And so to have this amazing artist, Miss Warwick, to even know who I am, let alone to join me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show for a special interview, was quite remarkable. And now, I had already interviewed Dionne's sister Dee Dee, who had passed away several years back, and I had interviewed Dee Dee twice, And Dee Dee's voice to me, I never will forget her voice. It sounded so much like Dion's voice. So this was great. When I had a chance to talk to Dion prior to me conducting the interview, I remember I had a chance to catch his words here, and I said, you know, I interviewed your sister Dee Dee, not once, but twice. And it was always one of my favorite interviews, just the most beautiful voice. And so, you know, they had a big group, the Drinker Sisters and all of that. And so, great thing. So when I'm asked about my favorite guest, Dionne Warwick has to be way up high.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
I am an endangered species, but I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs. All right,
you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, with me, I had a very, very special surprise caller today. into the Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the incredible Teresa D. Teresa D., good morning again. Now tell me firsthand, I want you to tell not just me, but all the fans this morning on your thoughts, what you heard about today's show and what you enjoyed.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Your show was totally awesome.
Oh.
My first time being on the radio. And
wow.
I love being able to talk to everybody and share my story, a little piece of it.
Yeah.
But what I really want everybody to know is that my going into my new chapter of life has more exciting now that I'm in touch with you and your community and your team, and I can see my life moving forward.
Yes.
As a military retiree, no one looks at us. They forget about us, but we're here. And as old people, I'm 51 years old, and I'm proud of it. Still have things to offer to society.
We still matter.
Have a lot. And I would say I thank you for giving me the time. And the most important thing I want to thank you for was I didn't have anyone to talk to, anyone to turn to. And I came into your arena. And you pulled me aside, and you welcomed me in as a little sister. And that means so much to me, because you didn't have to do that, but you did. And
I thank you
for that.
You are very much welcome, and I see you, and I see people for who they are. And I appreciate you just even remembering me. So thank you. And listen, this is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. We got to make this go everywhere you want it to go, because you had me when you told me that this is what you wanted to accomplish. When people tell me what their dreams and goals are, that's all you need to tell me, and I'm in. God has given me that ability to help. You know?
I only have two things I want to do. Three. I want to help women to grow natural, beautiful, healthy hair. I want to help cancer patients. When my mother had a brain tumor, and she had that bald spot, and we would talk about it daily up until the day she died. And she would always ask me if I can. I helped her grow all her other hair out. It was just that one spot. And
wow.
She always kept asking me, you know, she had long, beautiful hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she would ask me, can I do something to get that spot?
Mm-hmm.
And I told my mom, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it,
you know, because she is the woman that raised me. She raised my daughter while I was in the Navy. She kept us together, because if it wasn't for my mom and dad, I would have been that single mother that would have been like struggling or gold digging or something else. I wouldn't even have. My daughter says, Mommy, you do everything that a married couple has to put their money together to do.
Wow.
But you do it by yourself.
Teresa D., I'm going to say to you, we love it. We love it. Teresa D., first and foremost, I want to thank you for sharing. As always, you are incredible, and we love you here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. You are doing it up. Now, I want to make sure that folks know coming up in just a few minutes, we've got the folks behind the incredible legacy and legendary upscale.
Oh, we know, Carrie. We're dealing with producer extraordinaire. So it ain't, when we're dealing with you, Carrie Hines, it ain't no such thing as it's going to be all right. No, it's never going to be all right. It's always going to be excellence, Carrie. Because that's what you do, man. You bring out the excellence in all of us. You make us step up to the plate. And you bring out us being professional at doing this. That's what you do, man. I mean, that's what you do. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
I agree. And I think it's trusting, Kerry, too. Like, you can't open up or can't be 100% honest if you don't trust the host or trust the person who you're dealing with. And I think that's the camaraderie that's there. Everybody trusts Kerry, and then we trust each other.
Show. And we know that you have many choices of how you spend your time each morning. So we thank you for listening, because your hair speaks volumes.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and today's topic is on the subject of hair loss. And we'd like to welcome to Hair Radio Dr. Linda Amerson. Doctor, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hines, for having me today.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Now, along with myself, you also, we have a special treat, Darlene Alexander, who is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc.,
Now they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products, is on the line as well, and she'll be co-hosting with us. So a special treat for us and the listeners of Hair Radio. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Oh, thank you, Carrie, for having me here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, listen, we want to jump on in to this very, very big subject. And I guess the first thing that we probably want to do is to tell everyone that hair loss is so vast, and there's so many different parts to it. But if we must break it down and start at the beginning, and Darlene, you can certainly jump on in, but I'm thinking that, Dr. Emerson, maybe it would be a good idea for you to tell everyone about or what exactly is alopecia and the general topic of hair loss.
Okay, absolutely. Alopecia is the medical term for hair loss, and it is a very broad umbrella for several different categories of alopecia, and many consumers do not realize that. And sometimes that is not always conveyed in a very layman's term to them, that just because one person has one category, the other person may have something totally different or a combination of different types of alopecia. So what I do in my practice, I am a doctor of trichology, which means I have furthered my education, and my level is directly below dermatology and right above cosmetology and barber styling. So I actually get to the root of the problem by incorporating microscopes to give an accurate diagnosis. I look at internal factors as well as external factors, which is very, very important to have regrowth possible at all. Absolutely.
Now, would you tell us a little bit on what some of those internal factors might be?
Some of the internal factors may include nutrition. Now, nutrition is a very, very important factor. Other factors could be mechanical, such as the type of heat appliances that a person uses, whether it's the flat iron or the curling iron or the waving iron, et cetera. These are also contributors to some of the scalp damage and hair damage that I see on a daily basis.
Now, how much of this, just to kind of go back a little bit, Dr. Emerson, how much of this would you say is a real problem? Like, say, for the general public, do you have any idea how many people are actually suffering with hair loss, just overall, just an idea?
Yes, absolutely. The latest statistics is over 80 million Americans are affected with some form of alopecia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing.
Now, Dr. Emerson, when you said that, you stated about the types of alopecia, now, can a person also have two types of alopecia?
Oh, absolutely. There can be multiple types of alopecia and scalp disorders that occur simultaneously.
Okay.
For example, I've seen cases where they may have alopecia areata, they may have seborrheic dermatitis, they may have telogen effluvium, they may have inflammation of the scalp, erythema, pruritus, as well as hair breakage. So
yes.
So that is definitely a possibility.
Wow. Wow. Now, what are some of the treatments for these types of alopecia?
That depends on, I take it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
I look at the most, if it's in just a scalp condition, for example, if a person comes in and they complain about their scalp is just itching profusely, and I see bacterial infections on the scalp, I see hair breakage, hair thinning, inflammation, and pruritus. Well, the most severe condition needs to be assessed first, which is the bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I will address first. Once that is cleared, the scalp is much healthier.
Right.
And then we can concentrate on the hair regrowth process. I find that so many consumers, they want to just focus on the hair regrowth.
Yes.
And they do not think the importance of the scalp is as vital as it should be. So that is something that I constantly have to educate my patients and other consumers, that a healthy scalp is the utmost vital to a healthy hair.
Wow. That is just very interesting, very interesting. Wow.
Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today the topic discussion is on hair loss, and I am co-hosting today's program with Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc., and they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. And you can, of course, reach them at heavenlyessence.net. And we'll be talking with Darlene a little bit more about that in just a little bit. Now, along with Darlene, I'm so very proud to have with us today a very special person. She is an expert in this arena. Her name is Dr. Linda Amerson. And, Doctor, we again welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure to have you. Now, we so much appreciate a lot of the light that you're shedding on this, and we know it's a ginormous and vast topic, and there are so many different layers to this. What are some of the resources that you might suggest for someone who thinks that they are, you know, dealing with hair loss? Where might you direct them to find
it? I definitely suggest for them to seek an expert, such as a board-certified trichologist, to actually get to the root of the problem. Because I find that so many consumers, they want to first ask their family members, they want to ask their friends, and then they go online and YouTube. So they look on YouTube, and there's a lot of misinformation that's on YouTube. And that's another thing that I educate my patients and clients on. Don't believe everything that you see on YouTube. There are so many concoctions that are on there, and then there are also a lot of non-professionals who are telling their journey of how they are transitioning from, you know, the relaxer to the natural hair, and they consider themselves experts, and they are not. What I find is I see, you know, quite a different, I would say, different ethnicities that come into my clinic. In the natural hair community, I get a lot of questions about their hair. Once I show them under my microscope that their scalp is unhealthy and that there are other conditions present there, they are just so amazed because they have been focusing so much on their hair and their scalp has lacked the vital cleansing and proper care that will help with healthier hair growth and the hair just looking healthier overall. And
well, my big question to you, I was thinking all of this time, I'm thinking, is there anyone who would be able to avoid hair loss? It seems like hair loss affects almost everybody on some level or shape or form or fashion. So I was thinking, what could be done? Is there anything we can do to avoid hair loss? And then I just heard you mention about healthy hair and scalp, so I'm thinking that that's probably something that jumps out at me, but I'll ask you, Dr. Amerson, what are some of the things, if there's anything that we can do to, you know, kind of avoid having hair loss to begin with?
That is a question that it really depends on a case-by-case basis, because not everyone falls into the same category, and then there are also medical conditions that must be analyze.
Another example, there
are so many consumers that take prescription medications.
Yes.
Over 300 medications have a side effect of alopecia and hair thinning, and some of them even scalp conditions. So those must be factors. There must be factors as far as hairstyles. You know, we know that the lace front wigs are very, very prevalent. When a person starts to thin, they want to go to the hair coverings, the hair enhancements, instead mm-hmm. of getting to the root of the problem, to seeing what's really causing or contributing to this. Is it
right.
nutritional? Is it medications? Is it the chosen hairstyle that they've been wearing for 10, 20 years and they haven't changed that look? So it really depends on a case-by-case basis. It's the best way I can answer that.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Dr. Emerson, what about, you spoke about nutrition.
Yes.
What type do you recommend for people that who needs to improve their diet in order to have that healthy hair and healthy scalp?
Well, definitely avoiding as much fast foods and fried foods is one recommendation. Eating more fruits and vegetables, that will help. You're nourishing the body. So when you're nourishing
mm-hmm.
the body, this also helps to feed the papilla, and this in turn can feed and nourish the hair and the scalp. So looking internally is one of the main factors. Also, enough protein in your diet.
Right.
Protein is very, very important. So those are just some of the recommendations that I would say.
Now, also, Dr. Emerson, excuse me. Now, let's say the person is getting the right types of foods and fruits and vegetables and the adequate amount of protein, but they're still losing their hair. The one thing I just wanted to find out if this is a myth or if it is fact. When there's an organ in our body that is lacking certain nutrition, aren't those vitamins and nutrients going to go to that organ before it goes to the hair follicle?
Absolutely. The body is going to absorb and distribute the nutrition internally first. And if something is lacking, yes, it's going to give that particular organ or area inside the body more of the nutrients that needs. So whatever is left over will be transported through the bloodstream to nourish the hair and scalp. And in many cases, it is not enough
right.
nutrition that's being
exactly.
absorbed into the system. And this is something that I can see microscopically under my polarized microscope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Well, Dr. Emerson, just wanted to talk a little bit specifically on if you could explain briefly maybe about the areata, the alopecia areata, if you will. We have
yes.
a couple of guests who will be joining us in just a little bit, and we wanted to talk a little bit more about that as well.
Yes, alopecia areata is most commonly known as an autoimmune type of alopecia condition. The onset has many different triggers. Sometimes I have seen family members who have had this particular condition, and then it is predisposed. So there may be a generation that this particular condition may skip, and then the grandchildren may be affected. I've seen many cases of that. And then sometimes trauma to the scalp is a trigger. And excessive emotional stress can be another trigger. So that particular condition affects over 10% of the American population. So this is something I see very, very common in men, women, as well as children.
Now, what about the diffuse alopecia?
The diffuse alopecia occurs when the hair begins to shed excessively, and there are usually long strands that will be combed out or either fall out of the hair when a person may run their the fingers through their hair, and they notice an excessive amount of hair in their hand. This is known as diffuse alopecia. That is usually from an internal cause.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, again, we'd have to go back maybe 3 months to see what may have occurred during that time frame, because usually the cycle, when it affects the hair, it takes approximately 3 to 4 months for us to really see
right.
an indication that there was some type of change or systemic mm-hmm. problem or something that may have occurred within their system, and then we see it at a later time within the hair strand.
Okay.
Wow. Well, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm co-hosting today with the great Darlene Alexander. And we both have on the line with us Dr. Linda Amerson, who has been providing some great foundation of knowledge for us in terms of hair loss and some of the myths that are out there and kind of dispelling those. Dr. Amerson, first of all, again, we want to thank you so very much for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show. And is there anything that, you know, in the way of maybe kind of closing out that we would be able to, you know, maybe inspire or to, you know, is there anything that's new on the way that we can say, hold on to those folks out there who are dealing with, you know, so very much on the subject of hair loss and dealing with this?
Well, you know, research is constantly ongoing. The last research that I was informed about that is taking place is with a product, the Lactice product. It was very popular for helping to grow the eyelashes several years ago. Well, then there is some testing that has been ongoing to see if it will also assist with the scalp hair regrowth. So that's something that's on the way, and at this time, that's the only product that I am aware of that's considered new in the market.
Well, we're going to tell everyone to keep it right here and tuned in to Hair Radio, and we will certainly let everyone know of any breakthroughs on the subject. And Dr. Amerson, how would folks find you if they're interested in looking and following up with you?
Absolutely. I can be contacted. My clinic is LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am at 2304 West Pioneer Parkway, suite number 6 in Arlington, Texas. My phone number is 817-265-8854. That's 817-265-8854. My website is hairandscalpessentials.com. That's hairandscalpessentials.com. My email is dramerson@hairandscalpessentials.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is @scalpdoctor. Also, I'm on Facebook, Dr. Amerson's Therapeutic Essentials, LLC. All of those medias, I may be contacted.
And you can always come to Hair Radio and ask us how to find Dr. Amerson as well, and we will certainly connect them as well. Dr. Amerson, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today and just beginning, and I'm hoping that you'll come back as we move a little further along with this subject and come back to the Hair Radio Show and share some more of your wonderful insight.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure to return. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity, Mr. Hines and Ms. Darlene Alexander. Thank you also.
Hi. I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapy, and we thank you. Please register at Carapy.com and join our Carapy community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. Thank you. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest coming to us, well, from the world of business and, I'm going to say, entertainment. I want to welcome a very, very special guest again to the Hair Radio Show. Brandy J., good morning. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good afternoon. I'm good.
Yes. Well, I'm doing great. Well, listen, it's a great thing to have you with us on the show today. It really is. I have a lot to get into with you today. So first, I want you to tell the folks a little bit about your journey. And I had a chance to read a little bit, but, you know, bring us, you know, introduce yourself to our fans of the Harry
Okay. Great. Well, I am the creator and founder of Lux Curves Magazine. We are a lifestyle publication, empowering lifestyle publication for curvy women of color. And I started the magazine about 7 years ago. I wanted to change the perception of how curvy women of color were perceived in the media based off how I was raised by my grandmother, my mother, and my father. And that what prompted me to launch the magazine after I came back from New York and did New York Fashion Week Plus in 2015. So I'm the creator in front of New York Fashion Week Plus. I did that in 2015. And then from the magazine, I have a media background and went to school for media and then was kind of skeptical putting myself in front of the camera. My mom was like, you went to school for this. This is who you are. And at the time, I was more skeptical because of my size and, you know, having my third child and things like my second child and all that. So for me, it was more like, okay, just getting comfortable within my skin. And I was like, well, how can I empower other women to do that if I'm not doing it myself? So that's what prompted me to get in the front of the camera doing on-camera interviews with celebrities. And then that turned into the Brandy J talk show, which I have done 5 seasons of. And right now we're in the process of getting it rebranded and pitched to major networks and just really showing the world that you don't have to fit the what they perceive as beautiful to be in media. And I tell people, you know, I'm, you know, curvy, I'm African-American, tattooed, and I'm proud. And I said, this is who I am. And, you know, when you don't have a seat at the table, I always created my own seat and just started my own media entertainment company. So now we have the magazine and the talk show, and I do other women empowerment events throughout San Diego, L.A., New York, and in the process of developing other shows for my company.
Yes. Well, first of all, you have a personality of, you know, for the ages, really. I was just blown away. So bubbly and just wonderful, really. And
thank
I believe, that's what I believe connects with everybody. I know that. So, yeah, so first of all, like, I have to go back a little bit because where did you get that, you know, that certain something that, you know, that you're going to, you know, just be yourself and have people accept you for who you are when there's so many messages? So
oh,
many
my
messages
God.
Out there.
It was my grandmother. She was... She did not bite her tongue, hold her tongue. Like whatever she wanted to say is what she said. And with me being the youngest, and I'm the only, there's about 14 grandkids, and I'm the only one who looks like her. So I came out with her hair texture, her skin color, everything. Wow. So in my family, they call me Little Sarah. So I just like, you know, so obviously she gravitated towards her little Sarah, so she helped my mother and father raise me, but she was the one who really instilled the confidence in me and defended me and protected me amongst, you know, family members who would say things. For example, like my sister and my cousin, they will always tell me, oh, you're the white sheep of the family because you're light-skinned, and dad is not your dad, the milkman is your dad. Like, they will say these things to me as a kid. And one time my grandmother was over my house and growing up, and I went in the house crying, and I told her what happened because she asked me what was going on. And then she was so blunt. She basically, she told them, she was like, don't get mad because she's a house and y'all in the field. And I'm just like, 10 years old and my grandmother's saying this. And she was, and she said things like that. And she will also just tell me, you know, don't let no one make you feel different from how God made you. This is who you are. You can't, you didn't, you know, it's not like you could go and tell God, you know, give me these eyes, give me this skin color, give me this hair. And, you know, she was like, always be proud of who you are. And she was the ultimate, to me, curvy woman. Bold, outspoken, elegant, classy. Like, my mom and dad, we would have parties growing up, and my grandmother and my aunts would come in furs and diamonds. And it was, to me, that was normal. Just seeing a powerful, curvy woman in her skin, loving who she was and didn't care. So that's where it started from, just being around my grandmother growing up. And, you know, there, you know, when I was younger, my dad at 10 put me on my first diet. I didn't think nothing was wrong until, like, I told my mama, so I remember the day, like, he called you and he told you, don't feed, you know, me and my cousin. He was bringing us something home to eat, and I'm thinking of something great. And he brought home these salads, and he had us sit in the corner and eat the salads while the other kids were eating, like, hamburgers and hot dogs. And at that time, you're like 9 and 10. You're like, what's going on? And that's when he was like, well, you need to lose weight. And my mom and my grandmother, I remember yelling at him. And that was the trigger for me, like, what's wrong with me? And that started my journey with having an eating disorder and just being harder on myself about my weight. And then other things that started happening in my life, you know, from that moment. And it just really just made me just sit back and be like, okay, I'm not going to be skinny like my sister. I'm going to be who I am. So how do I embrace it? And it was at the age of 15 when I just said, forget this, I'm tired of this. And I embraced my curves and my thunder thighs and thick thighs. And when I started saying, yes, I'm proud of my thunder thighs, no one could say anything. And I always tell people, if you fall out there and accept them and say, this is what I have, no one can say anything about it.
You know, I love your words, and they're so positive. And, you know, just inspiring. And, but it's awful that you have to put what you might perceive to be your flaws. Because, you know, the way I look at it, and Brandy, I look at it this way. I look at it that the very thing that you may think are your flaws, to me, those are really, folks call it your superpower. Folks call it your gifts, all of those things. And I really believe that is what you're put here to work with. It is the thing, you know, and let me tell you, I just going through your story, just it's unbelievable. And the fact that you have such a positive attitude and just always, you know, just being so full of positivity. And wanting folks to, you know, embrace, you know, themselves the way they are, what have you, it's unbelievable. And just, you know, I take my hat off to you. And just having so, you know, to come from a dad doing something like that, or, you know, calling in names and all of this, doing far more damage than any type of weight could ever do. You know, let's talk about the way things have kind of maybe a little bit have maybe changed. I'll say they've changed, but what do you say, Brandy? Do you think folks kind of still look at it? It's a little bit more acceptance these days. Did you find that, or do you find that?
I honestly, I'm just going to be candid with you. I find it that they're more accepted to it if it's on a white woman than it is a black woman.
Ooh.
So
okay.
I do feel like, and I've always been vocal about this, in the plus size industry, you know, there's so many beautiful black curvy women. And I always tell people it was our body types as black women that started this industry, because we were, you know, we have, you know, thick thighs and small waist and big butt. Like, this is naturally who we are. This is in our genes, in our DNA. And we started the plus size industry, but if, you know, you have white women be a part of it, then it goes bigger. And then they get the recognition of doing all these great things. And you, and I'm looking at it from a standpoint of there's so many other black women who've been in the industry longer who have paved the way, but we don't get the recognition, the right recognition as we should as white curvy women. Because when they do it, oh, it's a trend. And I'm looking at it like it's not a trend. This is our lifestyle. This is who we are. And we've been doing this since birth. This is just, you know, and I'm very vocal about that. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason probably why everyone has always said you're not at the level of success you need to be at because of you being so outspoken and vocal. Again, I said I'm being honest. I said I'm going to be authentic and be honest to who I am because that's how you make change. And that's why I started my publication featuring curvy women of color because I'm like, this is who started this industry. This is the woman that needs to be recognized. And if God gave it in me to do it, I'm going to do it. Has it been hard? Hell yeah, it's hard. You know, I'm a single mother. You know, I've had, you know, two ex-husbands who try to destroy me. You know, my first ex-husband was physically abusive.
Wow.
Physically, emotionally, and sexually abusive to me. My second ex-husband was emotionally abusive and financially abusive. And I was able to get out of the relationship, the marriages, and come into my own as a woman and as a, you know, as a single mother and still do everything I have to do for my brand while, you know, supporting my household and, you know, still working a full-time job and doing all these things. So for me, it's more like, I know God put me here to do this, and he said it wasn't going to be easy, but at times it is hard. And he does put me in positions to where I have to continue to keep going even when I don't want to. It was, you know, last year my daughter's father, my first ex-husband, died of COVID. Mm. And I was the one who had to plan his funeral.
You
had
to for the first person who was physically abusive?
Yes. And it didn't dawn on me until my brother said something. He said, he was like, sis, like, do you realize what you're doing? I said, no, I'm just, you know, doing what's right, you know. And he was like, this man tried to destroy you. And, like, he beat you and tried to, you know, kill you and do all these things to you. And here you are, you know, we have been divorced for 18 years, but, you know, here you are planning this man's funeral, handling all his affairs to the point that his family didn't do it and the mother of his other kids would not do it. And, you know, they both said, they were like, we could not do what you did. Like, how you handled this with such grace and elegance.
How did you handle it like that? Like, how? Wow.
Honestly, I would have to say I did it for my daughter. Because, you know, she's 20 and losing a parent, I know that pain. I lost my father 7 years ago. So, and she, you know, her being 20 and she, you know, she has ADHD and epilepsy, her maturity level is always 2 years behind her actual age. So even though she's 20, she has a maturity level as an 18-year-old. I knew she could not handle this as the pressure, as the stress, as everything. So as her mother, I said, I have to take this off of her and carry it and put everything aside. And, you know, when people found out and they're like, you really are healed, I said, I actually gave this man years ago.
Awesome.
And I said, at the end of the day, he's a human being.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I have to tell you, let me just bring everybody up to speed. Folks, if you're just tuning in, again, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. And my very, very special guest is Brandy J. And you guys know her. She's the amazing, I'm going to call you an entrepreneur, to the max.
Thank you.
And what I also love, you've had some challenges, as you've shared. I mean, that's an understatement. But I love how you just have a big heart. You've done a lot of things to help folks who have been in similar situations, you know, and I'm just blown away. I really am. I'm almost speechless. I think about what you did just to even start your magazine. You know, I'm just, it's just amazing to help women who you describe as, you say the word curvy. So what exactly does the word curvy mean when we say a woman's curvy? To change it up a little bit, what does the word curvy mean?
So when I got into the plus size industry, I got a lot of hate from within the industry. And I was told, you're not big enough to be plus size. And I said, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, you have a flat stomach and a small waist. And I said, okay, I can't help the fact that I'm built like this, you know, but I said, I'm not a size 2. You know, at the time I started the industry, I was a size 16, 18, but I still had like, it's a blessing, I guess, you know, a flat stomach and small waist. It's how majority of the women in my family are built. Even, you know, my niece who is a size 6, but she has small waist, flat stomach, and thick thighs and a big, like, it's just who we are. It's just how the women in our family are built. So when they were saying that to me, I said, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm not big enough to be considered plus size, so I'm not skinny enough to be considered skinny, so what am I? And then I just sat back and I thought about it. I said, well, I'm curvy and thick. So when I launched the publication, and it's Lux Curves, and it's for, I always say curvy and plus size because they don't like to group us in together. It's either you're curvy, you're plus size, or you're BBW. And I always tell people there is a difference between the three.
Tell us what that difference is.
BBW is going to be a big, beautiful woman. And I'm not a BBW. I would never consider my size a BBW because it's morally like women who are, I would say, 300 and up pounds, depending on how their body is shaped. You know, you can Google BBW and you'll see them and you're just like, okay. Then you have plus size women who, you know, they're just naturally plus size and they're thicker. And then I say you have curvy women who are just, we have the small waist, the small stomach, and we have the thick thighs. We are shaped like a Coca-Cola body, a bottle that's curvy. Mm-hmm. So I always educate people because they like to lump us all together. And I tell people, like, I'm not a BBW. Like, don't call me something I'm not, you know, and or whatever. So once they are educated on it, they have a better understanding of the industry and just, you know, why I decided to separate it out from curvy, plus size, and BBW.
And this is an industry. Let's make no bones about it. It is an industry. How do you describe the industry to folks who, you know, may not realize that there is an industry that really celebrates women who are curvy?
We kind of lump them into, like, we lump ourselves into the plus size industry because that's kind of like the only industry right now that is, you know, anytime you, like, have, like, fashion shows or anything and it's just, you know, 12 and up, 10 and up, it's considered plus size, you know. So that's what the standard term is. So even when I've done my fashion shows or modeling, I always have to say plus size models because that's what the models are trained to think of, you know, for them because they are plus size. And I started, you know, rebranding and changing things just to say curvy, and, you know, just be proud of your curves, so, you know, and just embrace them. And I tell people, I never want to be a size 2 or 0. I never want to be that size. I will look like a freaking crackhead, and it would not look good on my body frame. And I tell people that all the time. Like I just said, you know, I love how God made me. So am I in the process of toning it up? Yes, because I like to work out, go to the gym, and I want to tone it up. I'm 42 years old. You know, I want to make sure, for one, I never look my age, and I'm just a healthy version of myself.
Absolutely. And the other thing, let me ask you a question. Let's turn it around the other way. Do you ever think that would it be nice not to have these labels? I was just, as you were describing all of this and you were breaking it down as I asked, and I appreciate it, I was just thinking, I said, I can't even imagine as a guy, you know, being, I can't even imagine like somebody asking me, well, Carrie, you know, how does it feel? What, you know, with the different shape and your, we just don't get that kind of judgment. We just don't. Now, maybe at a certain point in age, you know, we get the dad bod type, you know, thing. That might be the worst we have to deal with. I can't imagine that you're constantly, your whole life, being judged by your appearance. And I think it was your grandmother who, you know, you did not choose your appearance. And a lot of it has to do with our hereditary and physiological, you know, background or what have you. It just, it boggles the mind that this country, that the world, and for a lot of the different places, are the same way, where this, you know, you have so much to contend with as, you know, in terms of a female trying to just be accepted. Like, it's mind-blowing to, you know, to the guys out here who take the time to listen to the stories. I'm just blown away with this show. Listen, I have to tell you, Brandy, my guest is Brandy J. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Yes, well, you check a lot of boxes for women and for guys, too. I'm going to go ahead and put it on out there. As an entrepreneur, as someone who's trying to make a difference, and not just trying, you are making a difference, I think it's incredible.
Thank you.
It's absolutely incredible. So I just love it, and I love we've got a few guests in common on some of the folks who've been on our shows, so I'm just loving that part of it. Just looking at some of your things, I said, wow, how awesome. Oh, yes, I'm loving it. So now what is next? I know you are shopping your show around. I get it. Believe me. But what are some of the things long-term that you see Brandy J accomplishing?
Wow, one thing I want to do, I will do, I want to have a community for women of domestic violence. So one of my goals in life is to have, like, a community where they can come and live, you know, secretly with their family, with their kid, to get their life together. And then we offer them, you know, training for jobs or starting their own business and having funding to help them start their own business. That's one thing I've always just been passionate about, because when I went through my situation, I didn't have anyone. I had to get out of it myself. I, you know, even my family wouldn't really help me. So I was, you know, young single mother, and I had to get out of it myself and rebuild my life and put myself in therapy and do all these things to help me not allow that situation to destroy my whole life. And I didn't want to be the victim. And I don't label myself as a victim. I'm a survivor of it, because I survived it and I elevated. You know, this man didn't want me going to graduating college, didn't want me. He thought, you know, I'm leaving, you know, I left him, and he was thinking, well, if I'm not a good father, you can't do what you need to do because you're going to have our daughter. He wouldn't do a lot of things when he was alive. He wouldn't see her. He wouldn't do so many things, and it never stopped me. Like, I still graduated college. I still did what I needed to do and be who I needed to be, not only for myself but for my kids. So for one, that's one thing. Another thing is I really want to just really – continue doing what I'm doing and change how media perceives us. And that's why I'm so, you know, determined to have my show picked up by a network, because I don't look like everybody else. I'm not, you know, this big-time celebrity who, you know, was a singer and then turned into a talk show host or was an actor and then turned. I'm just an everyday woman who said, I'm going to break barriers. I'm going to do this, because there's so many women who are like me out there, you know, who came from where I came from, who continue to do what they need to do. And it's important for us to have, you know, us to see us on TV. And that was one thing growing up for me. I didn't see anyone who looked like me. I didn't see anyone who looked like me, who went through what I went through. So there was kind of like a disconnect. And then that's when you see, oh, you got to be blonde, blue eyes, have this, have, like, no, like, that's not who I am. You know, you know, California, San Diego, you know, grew up here, tattooed, do this and do that. And for me, and I'm 42 and I came out at 39. And, you know, now it's like when I tell my story of coming out as far as, you know, being attracted to women and things like that, there's other women who are my age who are like, oh, my God, like, I'm the same way. How did you have the courage and things like that? So I am not your, like, you know, I'm not your average celebrity or things like that. I'm just someone who people can relate to who's not afraid to tell her story.
Well, it just seems to me that you have just you've allowed yourself to just develop literally and just to let it be your own original journey.
Yes.
And I just find that incredibly fascinating. And you're, to me, what really jumps out, the word is courage. You've been courageous every part of your life. And I think it's incredibly, yes, it's, to me, I don't know how folks can. Of course they can relate to you, you know, immensely so, very much so. So this is just amazing. I do want to go back to this because I want to, you talked about being a form, you know, a former victim, a victim of domestic violence, if you will. So what do you say to others right now? Because I was, you know, it's not just, sadly, it's not just women, but primarily mm-hmm. women, of course. There are folks in all kind of relationships who are dealing with domestic violence, but to particularly to the women who might have children or small ones that they're caring for, what would you say? What can we tell folks who are going through something like this and may feel like they don't? Because what you hit me about your story, you were saying that you had no one to turn to, and even your family didn't offer the support that you probably, you know, that you really needed. So what words of encouragement might you tell folks, you know, particularly women who are finding themselves in this situation?
I knew at that moment I deserved better, and I knew that I loved me more than I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want my daughter to think that was love.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, not having the support of my family, and figuring a lot of things out on my own, I didn't care. Like at one point, my mother at the time and father, they were not going to let me come home to get my life together. And I said, well, fine, if you're not going to let me come here, I will go stay in a shelter. Like I did not care. Me and my daughter and I were looking for shelters, and it was my aunt who finally told them, like, what in the hell is wrong with you? Like, this is not a situation she needs to be in. There's no way in hell she should be looking at shelters when you guys have two extra bedrooms in your house. Like, this is your daughter. Would you rather, and this is what really changed their mind. That she said, would you want to get a phone call that your daughter and granddaughter is dead?
Oh, my God.
And then when my aunt said that, it struck a nerve. And then they let me and my daughter come home. And my dad was like, well, you have a year to get your life together. And I said, okay, not a problem. He's like, you got to be out of here in a year. And I was like, all right, Dad, whatever. Like, I'm the youngest, but the other two, the middle and the oldest, they get treated completely different than what I get treated. I've always had to get treated harder than everybody else. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I did it in 6 months. I was out.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm gone, you know. And it was the strength I had within myself. And at this time, my grandmother she already passed. So I had to just channel her and look within myself and just be like, okay, Brandy, you got this. And at the time, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was young. I was 22, 23, and, you know, figuring things out. And I just did it because at the end of the day, like I said, I love me more than I love that whole situation. That I loved, okay, him trying to say, well, you know, you're going to leave the house, you're going to leave all these things, and no one's ever going to want you, and, you know, you're damaged goods, all those things he said to me. And I thank God I had the confidence within myself that my grandmother instilled in me that I channeled. And I remember looking at him, and I'm saying, you think no one's going to want me? And I grabbed. I said, you just don't know. And he went to work one day, and I packed up the house, and he came home, and me and my daughter were gone.
Amazing. Amazing. And I love what you said about creating a safe space for other women who are finding themselves in this type of situation. This is a long-term dream. I love it. Listen, I have to just, again, I am literally at a loss for words when I go through your story, and hearing you describe these things is amazing because, like I said, you have an amazing personality. It reminds me of that, what folks say, you know, you would never know behind the smile.
I get that a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you just would never know, you know, but that also serves a purpose. It really does. And so, I think it's to inform people or remind them or let them know that you can get to the other side of that. And so that's what I think that the buoyant personality, I think it shows and demonstrates. So listen, I've got to say, yes, well, very much so. So listen, is there anybody, you know, I know you've given us a lot to take in this morning on the broadcast, but any encouraging words that you want to leave people with, anybody you want to shout out to this morning?
Any encouragement? Of course, I always tell women and men, no matter what you're going through, you have to love yourself more to get out of that situation. And know it's going to be hard. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. It's going to be hard, but you will be so at peace knowing that you did it. And I tell that to women and men all the time. Like, you know, it is hard for me. You know, living in San Diego is not for the weak. California is expensive, and you need three incomes to maintain a comfortable living, and I'm out here doing it with my income, raising my son and helping my mother out and doing all these things because at the end of the day, I know that God is going to find a way, and he always has found a way for me.
Absolutely.
And when you know your purpose in life, it's not going to be easy, but you gotta go for it. You know, got to keep going. And I just want to thank, you know, my mother, my kids for always being there and supporting me. And, you know, my son, he's 11 now, wiping my tears, you know, and telling me when he was younger, Mommy, you got to keep going. You got to do this for us. You got to do it. And even now, he's, you know, the youngest, and he's with just me and him, and he's just like, Mommy, you got this. Like, you got this. And, you know, to my amazing partner, you know, we've been together for 2 years. She's just really been an amazing person to me and pushing me out of my comfort zone to do better and to do more. And, you know, my sisters, you know, and my circle, I have tremendous great women in my circle, my sister Amber and my sister Val and, you know, my life coach, Amber Lachey, they're all just great, and I just really want to thank all of them for not allowing me to give up on me.
Wow. Wow. I tell you, Brandy J, you've got everything going on. We love it here. We really do. You've got the magazine. So how can folks, you know, find out more or connect with you? How would they go about doing it?
So you can actually go to the magazine. It's luxcurves.com, and that's Lux, L-U-X-E, curves with a K. com, and then you can email us at info@letscurves.com, and then my team will send it to me and think, you know, if there's a way you want to work with us or, you know, you want to be featured, just let us know. And then, you know, probably within the next couple of months, you know, I'm actually in the process of filming a new project for my company, my production company, and I'm going to be doing more things with my talk show. So I have a lot of things coming up, so if you guys just want to find out where I'm at, just go to info@letscurves.com, and then we'll get back to you guys. Or you can follow me on Instagram at Brandy J. Curvy, and everything is Brandy J. Curvy, and that's Curvy with a K.
I love it. And, of course, you can reach out to Brandy J. through us, and that's part of what I wanted to just say. Listen, I have to just say welcome to the incredible Upscale Radio Network. We love Upscale Magazine.
Yes.
And we appreciate them so very much for putting everything together. Of course, my team at the Hair Radio Morning Show. and, of course, our 24-hour network as well at hairradio.com. So I just want to say thank you. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And not that you need anybody to push you. You just go on and keep you just do it all by yourself. We love it. So, listen, we are your friends here, and you stay in touch with us, and we'll keep the fans and everybody informed of all the wonderful things that you're on to. So, Brandy J, thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. All right, folks. Keep it right here. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. Stay with us, everybody.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three or four people saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
Go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. She was.
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks, I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to porocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O as in Ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in Ocean, Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire. Was it Danny Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, women, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what I'm getting.
Claiming.
Why? How on this earth? I'm trying to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that they
no
stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, clean, it was orderly, it was, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines, a wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's where the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All this time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So,
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work, and so he became a beautician. And of course, his songs just took off, and he never went back to it. But
right, amazing.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines and Nicole Marie with Michael Hopkins and Blue. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right, it's Friday morning, October 7th of 2022, and again, welcome to our mid-show. We literally, the mid-show point, it's about 7:30 in the morning here in Brooklyn, New York, as we broadcast live. It's our show number 769. Show 769. My goodness. Okay. Let me bring to the line, we've got a big lineup today, and we're going to be taking it all the way with some live talk pretty much till 9 o'clock this morning. So we definitely have a lot to get to. We're going to talk about all of that. And let me bring Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi, to the line. She's the queen
good
of the morning.
Morning.
Yes.
Good
happy,
morning.
Happy
good morning.
Yo, literally mid-show point.
Welcome to mid-show and happy Friday.
Yes. We love this. It's always great to have you guys with us. And I really, really am quite pleased. We have a lot of stuff to get to. Usually by Friday, the show is packed. Tuesday morning,
yes,
which is our first day back for the week. And I'm talking about our three-hour show, the three-hour live broadcast that we do from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Tuesday, the first show of the week, we're always packed and got a lot from the weekend because we are off on
Saturday,
Sunday,
Monday. Yeah, so
much to share. Yeah, so we have so much to share, and then Michael Hopkins does Vet Talk, so it's always busy. And then Friday is the wrap-up of the week. By then, we've got a whole lot of things that have happened that week and what's coming. So that's always packed to the gill. And I'm just always honored. Yeah, I'm super, super excited. Let me just tell everybody what's coming up. In the 8 o'clock hour, Dr. Paul Dyer should be back with us. We're excited to chat with him, the man with 4 PhDs, and not to be outdone, my big brother, they're great friends and colleagues and have a lot in common with martial arts and all of that. My big brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, will be with us in the next hour as well. So lots to get to. Plus, we have a lot of updates, and I'm going to have to just steal some of that spotlight hour time to bring you guys up to date on what's happening here at Hair Radio. We got so much on the way to get to. You guys know if it's mid show, we always talk with Blue, who is the proprietor of Divine Energy Candles, a luxury candle line out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm going to just say good morning, Blue. You're on with Nicole
good
Marie.
Good morning, Blue.
It's just me and Nicole
good
Marie.
Morning.
Yes, good morning. Happy,
how's
happy
everyone
Friday.
Doing this Friday? It's fine.
Great,
well,
great. How are you?
Let's give everybody a wrap-up, Blue, on what's happening. You're in Jacksonville, Florida, so we want to know how are you coming along and how's all the water stuff? Has it gone away? What's happening down there in your area down in Jacksonville, Florida?
Yes, we are moving and shaking out here in Jacksonville, Carrie.
Awesome.
We have no more water. Flooding is going around here, so we're doing
great.
Really good. It's chilly. It was 51 this morning. However, by the afternoon, we're going to be about 75, 80. So,
a little bit of the Indian summer in Brooklyn, New York. We should get up to about 75 ourselves today. But then it drops down to like 50 tomorrow.
It's
going to be about 80 today.
Now, what about you, Nicole Marie? What's happening down in Water Valley, Mississippi, out on weather?
It's cool this morning. The temperature drops at night, and then it's cool in the morning. But still, right now during the day, it warms up into the 80s. So we're still.
Oh, you know what? We're going to leave you off our list. Okay. I'm changing the subject now. Okay, new topic.
Weekend, though, it's only going to be in the 70s, but then it's going to jump back up to 80.
Listen, you guys, New York, I don't know if we can compete weather-wise with you guys. We're just out of the running on that one. We really are. I want to say thank you guys for being with us. Blue, we always have to talk on the scent of the day. We got to get you an intro
for the spend of the day talk,
yes,
where we're talking with Divine Energy Candles founder Blue out of Florida, as you guys heard. And she gives us a beautiful scent type of candle with an amazing aroma that just
incredible
day. And then today she gives us a wrap-up in case you guys missed any parts this week. So, Blue, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. Take it away. What have you got for us today?
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate that. And like you said, I would usually start off with the run back from the week. I'm going to ask you for just a little help with that. I know this week, I believe we started it off. Did we start this week with creme brulee? Was it creme brulee this week? Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, we started it off with creme brulee, and then we went to a little gingerbread.
Yes,
we went with the gingerbread. Okay, so I had it down here, but I wasn't sure of the order.
Okay, that was great.
So now we're going to have a little, we're going to go a little, shift a little bit to the earthy nostalgic scent. I want to start our Friday off with a little patchouli. Now, this is generally associated with the flower child era of the 1960s, and that's okay, because patchouli is
making a comeback. You're all the way up on the mic. You're not as clear as you normally are for me. Double-check your mic down there.
Hold on. Yeah, let me check.
Oh, that's so much better. Yeah.
Very good. Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. No problem. Okay, patchouli. It is the scent from the child era of the 1960s, but like I said, it's making a comeback. This fragrance oil does begin with a rich spice note. We're speaking of ginger and cinnamon, a little clove, and a strong core of patchouli with traces of jasmine. Now, a warm woodsy base note of oud, amber, and even more patchouli that will add to this earthly nostalgic scent. Now, Carrie loves his top, middle, and base notes. So we're going to go with the top note. We're going to go with those top notes.
Because folks, today we got a lot of new people I can see tuned into the show. Blue, remind everybody what we're talking about when we say these notes.
Okay, sure, Carrie. When we say our top, middle, and base notes, our top note is like as soon as like maybe you take the top off of a candle or you put your nose right to the candle, that's that scent that might hit you, boom, right there as soon as you put your nose on it. And the middle note is once you start burning it, you'll get that middle note starting to circulate. And then the base note is usually when you get to like the middle or the bottom of the of your candle, you'll get more of this scent. So as far as patchouli, our top note is ginger and clove and cinnamon. So as soon as you light it, you're going to get your ginger, clove, and especially the ginger and clove, because, you know, that's just a pretty strong scent. So that's going to hit you right away, that cinnamon, clove, and ginger. And then your middle note is going to be your patchouli, jasmine, and cedar. And, you know, cedar is more of a woodsy scent, you know. And jasmine is another flower. Okay, and then when you got that base note, you're going to add more patchouli because it is a patchouli scent candle. So you want that patchouli to be pungent and really come through for you. And then that bottom has that amber and oud. And oud is a more earthy scent as well. So this is really like a really earthy scented candle. One of our, I'll say the category of an earthy nostalgic scent.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you bring it every day, Blue. Thank you for doing the work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. Now, I want to say this on the candles, and just a reminder to everybody, we're going into the holiday season, and candle safety should never leave your mind. Just a reminder, do not leave the candles burning when you go off to work. Because you want a good smelling house when you come back here.
Right.
Keep them in your sight.
Exactly. So very important.
Just always pick your wick.
Yes. And keep them out of reach of children.
Yes. Well, say that one more time about the wick.
Always, yes, always pick your wick. When I say pick your wick, after
pick
you burn
your
candle and you blow it out, and after you come back to relight your candle, before you relight that candle, please pick your wick. Because when you pick your wick, you're going to eliminate the smoking in your house. You're not going to have any smoke. You're going to have a very, very, very clean burn. And your candle is smelling your house up like you just purchased it all over again. It's a brand new candle. Every time you relight it, as soon as you pick that
nice.
Wick, please pick
your wick.
Very, very
I love
important.
It. That's, I learned that from Blue as well about picking your wick. I didn't know that you should pick your wick.
I
so,
didn't ask you because a lot of people wonder why
it made a difference.
Oh, no. My candle is smoking, or there's smoke coming from the fire, you know. That, and it's like because you probably didn't pick your wick. And then they'll blow it out. They'll pick the wick and like,
so
I didn't
every
know that.
Every time you say pick your wick, it's so hilarious. Sorry, pick your wick. Oh, my goodness.
Pick your wick.
You know what we need? We need some pick your wick T-shirts. That's what we need. And some mugs. I think I'll do a pick your wick mug. Well, listen, it's always exciting to have you. Yes, Blue, it's always great to have you on the show. We are so proud of DivineEnergyCandles.com. You guys can go there. She has a whole bunch of scents and all of that.
Thank you,
guys. And you did tell us. Oh, absolutely. Now, you're getting ready to go into the holiday season. You want to remind everybody that this is the time to buy. You're looking for gifts. I have to tell you, the candles make the perfect gift, the holiday
season. Absolutely.
So it doesn't
really
get any better than that.
They really do. And they're great for vacations and your little outdoor camping. You want to take your family out camping for the weekend or take a trip. They're wonderful, wonderful for that. And we also have our hop-up this weekend. The market is here this Saturday. Yes, the market has arrived.
Tell us about who that is.
Yeah, it's tomorrow on Kingsbury, 428 Kingsbury in Jacksonville, Florida. It's going to be from 10 to 3. We have a dog costume contest. We have candy for the children to come in their costumes. We have a contest for them as well. So it's going to be a really good – we have food trucks, a lot of different vendors.
Wow.
It's going to be a really good time, very good time.
Well, it sounds like you are in and about the community. You're doing things that are really, really good, and it's nice to see Divine Energy Candles being part of it. It really is.
Absolutely.
All right.
I've been doing
it
for 3 years, and I love it. I love it.
Awesome. And we just want to remind, at least inform the fans, guys out there, if you want, if you, you know, go to all the websites and stuff, get a hold of Blue and her beautiful candles. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can always contact me as well at Hair Radio. We'll put you in touch with Blue.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Carrie. Okay. No problem. Thank you. And Michael Hopkins is up next.
Thank you, Nicole.
We're gonna kind of rake Michael over the coals this week because we really have not been able to give a good, fresh update on what aired on Tuesday. So it's really my fault. So we'll talk about that with Michael Hopkins. We'll get to the nitty gritty in just a moment. So we want you guys to stay with us. We're live on this Friday morning. Again, it's October 7th of 2022. It's our show number 769. Hard to believe, show number 769. But that is what's happening here. So stay with us.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Michael will be with us.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair masks, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of A Swayze Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty.
I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Kerry Hines is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hair Radio. Thank you, Angela. All right, we're back. It's Friday morning, October 7th of 2022. It's again our show number 769. I'm with Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi, and also Blue down in Jacksonville, Florida. And, of course, we're bringing to the line the man of the, I'm going to say of the hour, of course, next to me. We're talking about Michael Hopkins. You guys know he's the host of Vet Talk Radio Show. That airs Tuesday mornings at 8:30. Hopkins, are you there this morning? Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good morning,
you're coming
Michael.
In loud and clear.
Awesome. Yes. And have you been listening to the broadcast today?
Oh, yes, sir. 100%. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Michael, as you just heard Blue and all that we were doing right before the commercial break, what would you like to say this morning?
Wow. First of all, shades of 1960s with Blues Candle.
Oh, wow.
I love it. I love it. It's bringing me, it's taking me back to my childhood.
All the way
back.
1960s.
Okay. All the way live.
All
the
way. Nice. Okay. Well, what do you mean by that, Michael? I'm not sure I understand. What's in the 1960s that we did?
Well, I mean, I grew up during that space age, during the peace and love and peace symbols, the Monterey
yes.
Pop Festival, I mean, soul music, rock, you know, the heyday of all that stuff is where I grew up. And it's, when I hear somebody talk about it, it just brings all those feelings back. Summertime, hanging out with your friends and all of those kind of things. It's just good feeling.
I love it.
And I just, I love every moment of it. You know, and I can't wait to get my hands on that candle.
Oh, I know. Listen, I tell Blue every day. You guys probably think I'm just making something up or whatever. But, no, I really am a candle king. Every day mid-show, Blue comes on and talks about the different types of candles. And it just creates such a mental note or, I don't know, just some kind of, you can envision it as she describes it. And it's just uplifting and motivational to me.
Yeah,
so that's why I love
you.
The
thank
Candle
you.
Talk this show. Yeah, so she's doing a good job down there. Divine Energy Candles, what can I say? All right.
Yes.
So, yeah, good job. All right. Now, Michael, so I want to talk about what the heck. We did not talk about that talk radio show this week.
Oh, yeah, we sure did.
And
we,
so it's Friday.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, can you remind everybody of what this past Tuesday show was all about? Because it really was a good show.
Right.
It was. It was
all
great.
About the ways you can get to 100%. And there are four ways you can get to 100%.
And when Michael says 100%, because Michael, you're so accustumed to
I'm so
saying
used to doing that,
and you
right,
take for granted that everybody knows.
Right.
But he's talking about the claims process. This is for the veterans once they are out of active duty, and they're looking to this. You should explain that the claims it ties in to the compensation that they receive following their active duty, correct,
based
Michael?
Based upon what happened to them on active duty, the injuries and illnesses they sustained while on active duty, and they get a rating, and it's a percentage, and it's based upon what happened to them. That's the beautiful thing about it. It's a beautiful thing. in essence, it is our workman's comp as a veteran. You know, civilians have workman's comp when something happens to them. As veterans, we pretty much have the same thing. We have workman's comp. And we had we had an excellent time on the show. And if anybody wants to go back, they want to listen to the show, there are lots of formats. The Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yeah.
They can Google it.
And mostly you can catch it over at upscalemagazineradio.com. As well, just Google, even if you just Google the Hair Radio Morning Show, those five words, all of our episodes
pop up.
So you can just hit the Google like everybody else. But Michael, I'm
very
excited.
Eagle.
And just to book in this. So next Tuesday, and throughout the second season, you're looking at some of the wonderful episodes that you aired, some of the topics you'll be revisiting.
Right.
Is that the idea?
That is the idea. We're going to go back and visit many of the topics that we had in season one. And we're going to enhance those things because a lot of things have happened, Karen. A lot of
changes
have come about in this last year that has been very favorable for veterans, very favorable. So we're going to go back. We're going to open the doors, kind of pull back the curtain, and stick our heads diligently in to whatever happens in the new claims now and the new enhancements for it.
And just so that everybody knows, you don't have to be a veteran to tune in. I'm not a veteran.
Nope.
I love the show. I think I've learned so much.
Right.
It's not even just never would have thought that I would have learned as much as I've learned.
So
information. Carrie, you are Carrie Hines. Let me make this public for everybody. Carrie Hines is an honorary veteran.
He is an honorary veteran
because what he does for the veterans. Carrie Hines does so much just putting this format on. And by myself doing the Vet Talk radio show, I am so grateful that he has allowed me to do this. I have touched so many veterans. I had no idea that I was touching so many veterans because I get the calls, I get the emails, I get the messengers, the Facebook, I get all of that stuff. And they cheer me on with Vet Talk because these are the issues, these are the things that most veterans have issues with when it comes to the claims and compensation process. And you, Carrie Hines, you have opened the door. And I just love and appreciate you for doing that, man. I'm always going to be forever grateful.
Thank you, Michael. Well, you know what? I really appreciate you saying that. It means a lot. And we're just getting started. There's a whole lot more that we're going to get into with all of this. And I appreciate all of the efforts. And we salute our veterans. We love you. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
100%.
Yes.
The families, the friends of the veterans. It means so much to a veteran when you have a team like this behind you. It just means so much to us as veterans because we always feel like we're by ourselves.
I have to, like I said, Tuesdays at 8:30 Eastern right here through the Hair Radio Network. Please tune in, and you're going to love that talk radio show. You really will. Okay, I have to say, coming up next hour, we've got a bone to pick with this man, okay? He doesn't know it yet, but he probably will know it now. Dr. Paul Dyer is back, and we're super excited to have him. It's Friday morning, and we're going to chat with him. I really had set up this incredible thing that we wanted to get his opinion on, the topic of forgiveness. So we're going to tackle that a little bit this morning as well, just to get his wonderful insight. He's a man who's very insightful with all of this, and we're so excited. Then a little bit later in the next hour, my dear brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, is expected to be with us as well. And I want to talk to him. Now, I have some things I want to chat with him about because he runs his own business. He's also, you know, big into martial arts. You guys know all of that stuff. And I know, you know, Dr. Dyer is into that as well. But I'm looking forward to really talking about personal safety, family safety, all that kind of stuff as well. We'll round out the hour. So listen, lots of good stuff this morning to do and to talk about. I've got a lot of updates for everybody. We have big therapy news to get into. We'll talk a little bit. I'll try to get some of that squeezed in this morning. Now, I want to remind folks, because many people don't realize that we also have, we're big with photography. They're not quite sure of the things that we do here at Hair Radio. So I think I want to remind folks of that. And Michael, thank you for the kind words. You, Nicole,
thank
Marie Blue, the whole team, everybody.
Oh, quite welcome. Quite
thank
welcome.
Now, thank you. I have to say, one time I caught Michael and the team, they were talking about me, and I kind of have that already queued up for you guys. And this was off the cuff. I did not pay them or anything like that. So take a listen. I'm going to leave your mics on. Take a listen, and we'll talk.
Oh, we know, Carrie. We're dealing with producer extraordinaire. So when we dealing with you, Carrie Hines, it ain't no such thing as it's going to be all right. No, it's never going to be all right. It's always going to be excellence, Carrie. Because that's what you do, man. You bring out the excellence in all of us. You make us step up to the plate. And you bring out us being professional at doing this. That's what you do, man. I mean, you know, that's what you do. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
I agree, and I think it's trusting, Kerry, too. Like, you can't open up or can't be 100% honest if you don't trust the host or trust the person who you're dealing with. And I think that's the camaraderie that's there. Everybody trusts Kerry, and then we trust each other.
Wow, that was Eugene Davis. We're back live. I have to say, when I hear things like that, and we were just, you know, chatting after doing some production things, I think, you know, well, let me ask you guys, what comes to mind, Nicole Marie, my amazing co-star and co-host of the broadcast?
Carrie, that is 100% true. You give 100%. And you expect excellence. And you not only exemplify that yourself, you set the example, you set the bar high, but you also guide and teach along the way to help us get there. And we just thank you so much for that. Me personally, I have learned so much from you, from your wisdom, from your business experience, from just your journey. Thank you so much for just sharing that information and pushing me to be my best. You always push, and I never take it personal because I know you only want the best. And so that's what we give you. Excellent.
Thank you.
100%.
I appreciate that. Yeah, folks, I have to say, it's not always easy, and I thank you guys for that. I have to say, you know, because on the radio show, we're always smiling and happy, and that's how I am 99.99% of the time. But I have to say, I can be a bit on the demanding side when it comes to work, but I demand a lot of myself, not so much.
Yes.
I try not to give that same exact pressure to others. But I appreciate that you guys understand, you know, because it's all that we're doing is meant to make sure that our fans get the very best that I can give them every day.
Yes.
As I tell everybody, the show is on from 6 to 9 in the morning for 3 hours, You guys get to live. I literally live Hair Radio. This is not just,
yes, you do.
You know, we're putting together,
yes,
something. I am Hair Radio all day. You know, my day normally starts at 4, but generally I'm up like today at 3 working. That's
right.
Just what we do to make sure that you guys
have 24
hours
a day. You live it.
24 hours a day. And I'm so honored that that we have what we have. I'm very honored. So I couldn't ask for a better life, and I couldn't ask for better folks to share that life with. So great job, everybody. So coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to just shake things up just a little bit. I'm going to see if I can find something, and then we're going to – bring this man back to the line. He's relatively new addition to the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And I'm just really excited. Dr. Paul Dyer really brings something. He brings a certain kind of energy to the broadcast.
Yes, he does.
And so, so I'm looking forward to talking with him. And then again, like I said, can't wait to catch up with my dear brother as well, Dr. Leroy Hines. You guys know he's a trained economist, but he's so much more. He's one of the most savvy, knowledgeable persons that I've ever known. And I've known him as obviously my whole life. But I have a story that I'm going to share with you about how impactful he has been as kind of like a surrogate dad to me. So I so appreciate all of that, and I'm going to share all of that. It's going to be a very, very – every show is special, but today I think it's going to be even more special for everybody. So I'm going to take – I'm just trying to get something on for us, and then after that we'll be back with Dr. Paul Dyer. I hope that you guys are fans of Miss Vanessa Williams, as I am, and I don't get to hear a lot of her. So here's one of my favorite songs by this woman. It's called Oh, How the Years Go By. And boy, oh, boy, take a listen to the words. We'll be right back with Dr. Paul Dyer.
Honey, Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, thank you, Purple Barbie. It is Friday morning. It's October 7th of 2022. It's hour number 769. It's about a little after 8. I could say almost 10 after 8 New York time as we broadcast live. I'm in Brooklyn, as you guys know. Let me bring to the line my amazing team. We got a lot to shake up this morning with some morning talk. I'm so happy to have the let me first get on the new queen of the mornings. We're talking about Nicole Marie, and then Michael will join us
good
in just a
morning.
Bit.
Good
morning to you, Nicole Marie. Now we have to
welcome to the spotlight hour.
Yes, the spotlight hours are 8 to 9 hour New York time, 7 to 8 if you're in Central, of course. That we take either, you know, we first of all on Friday and Thursday and Friday, our spotlight hour consists of this gentleman who comes to us out of the Maryland area. We're just so excited to have him on. Dr.
Yes,
Paul Dyer. First of all, good morning officially on
good
air.
Morning.
Welcome back to the broadcast. you know, all
yes.
that good stuff. So you might have been listening. You might have heard a little bit of the broadcast today.
Well, I did.
Yes.
And first, I got to tell the family, all of you, I am so sorry for missing our show yesterday because I was a day late and a dollar short because I traveled to the Midwest. So I'm in the upper Midwest with my kids. And I'm in the North Dakota, Minnesota area. So that kind of threw me in the time change because it's an hour behind the East Coast time. So
right, exactly.
I totally blanked it on that, and I was just like, I was hurt because I'm like, oh, and Carrie reached out to me, and he's like, the first thing he asked me, are you okay? And I'm like, you know, I said yes. And that is so important. When you ask someone, are they okay? And you really mean it. The person that
yeah.
is receiving it understands. It's not just, hey, you missed my appointment, but I'm checking on you. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm checking on your living being, your soulful
right.
connection.
Your well-being.
And, yeah, and I want to say thank you, Carrie, for that connection because it is a family. And what Michael was talking about earlier about the soldiers always feeling like they're alone, he is so on point. There's something that we have to struggle with every day. I know I do as a personal soldier, as a vet, and always feeling like I'm alone or I'm going to be left alone. So,
yes, Michael, you heard that. What do you say when you hear those kind words from Dr. Dyer and then understanding what a soldier goes through? I wanted to make sure and get Michael on in on that.
Oh, yeah. He understands. And that's one of the things. It's hard to explain, and Dr. Dyer knows what I'm talking about. It's hard to explain what you go through as a military person, and all of a sudden, you're not military anymore. They send you back to the world. You're supposed to be a civilian, but your military never goes away. And it's hard to talk to the average civilian about your experience in the military. It's hard. They don't understand.
Wow.
And I appreciate him. You know, from the first time him and I met, and I found out
Dr. Dyer was the bomb.
yeah, and that's what I couldn't know. Listening to him because
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate him.
Absolutely.
Sir, I appreciate you saying that. I really do. That's from the bottom of my heart.
I remember the first time I heard Dr. Dyer talk over there doing the special, and my brother, like I said, well, he'll be on a little bit later. We're hoping he's scheduled. And I remember talking with my brother later. I said, you know, that Dr. Dyer is amazing. I was very quiet as well because I could hear how much he would fit into what we're doing and what he could bring to the fans of the show. Yeah, with through education and information and his own experiences. So we haven't even started on that journey yet. We're going to be doing all of that. So I can see it and I can envision that, and it's just going to be incredible. So like Michael said, we appreciate you. Mike, I'm going to keep your mic on, keep you in as well on the conversation this morning with Dr. Paul Dyer, Nicole Marie, myself.
Okay.
Listen, speaking of yesterday, and I really, this was the big thing that I wanted to get into a little bit. We had a huge conversation on forgiveness, and it's so important. So that's something that I really wanted to have you to weigh in on, Dr. Dyer, this morning. And forgiveness across the board, whether it is, you know, I had to learn to forgive some folks along the way recently, but I also needed to be forgiven. And so I want to talk about that, is that we think that forgiveness is just a one-way street. And is it true, or are we just given platitudes and these things when we just say, oh, forgiveness is, it's more about you and then instead of them? And all, what can you say in your experience on forgiveness? And do we in our community not forgive? I've heard that too. So, Dr. Dyer, I'm turning it over to you, sir. What can you tell us this morning?
You know, Carrie, you know, when I was listening to you talk just now about forgiveness, our community and forgiveness, I have to remind people, let me say something. I actually, this may make sense to people when they go, oh, this makes sense. I'm actually autistic. I actually have Asperger. I actually have Asperger's. And so with that being said, is that I listen with so different dynamics of how I see, feel, and understand things. So when you're talking about forgiveness, I don't always go to one place, but I always want to bring people to the science of what we're talking about before we get into some platitudes of why it's not working. So we, in our bodies, we have what you call two brains. Most people know it's the one brain that's in our head, but then we also have the second brain, which is really called the enteric nervous system. And that enteric nervous system consists of certain things of the digestive system. So it's like the liver, the pancreas, the gallbladder, small and large intestines, stomach. It's where you feel the butterflies in your stomach when you're nervous or when you're anxious. Because I'm going to relate this back to the emotional body, where we're talking about forgiveness and where we hold it in certain parts of our body, where we hold the sorrowful of not being forgiven is in our stomach, where we hold the stress of something, where it's in our upper lungs area, where we hold stress in our lower back, and that's because of our small intestines and gallbladder. So all these things are connected, right? And they're connected to like one of the largest running veins that goes through the body. It's called the vagus nerve, right? And it connects all things throughout the whole body. The reason why I'm mentioning the small science of it is because when we don't forgive and we don't truly forgive, and that's the difference, I'm not saying the words, and the words mean absolutely nothing if you don't understand what your forgiveness can do to your body, your organs, and the living system you have. It will destroy it if you don't, because it would kill nerve cells. It would cause poor digestion, which causes gut failure, which causes bacteria buildup, which can cause cancer cells to build up. So you have this You have this you have this continuous poison going through your body because you're producing it chemically, right? Through the emotions and how it flows through your body. That's the understanding of when we say forgiveness heals the body and it heals other things, because it does. Once your body's in a healing environment, we're not talking about always joyful, laughing and giggling. We're talking about joyful as an acceptance. That's why the word is so big in the Bible. It's acceptance.
Wow.
Accept what you are, who you are, and have people accept you, which goes back to the military component. Why so many of us commit suicide. We never feel accepted. So that sickness regurgitates into our bodies, which sends so many signals back to our brains, which says, you don't need to be here anymore. So we keep separating ourselves from the words we use, from how it affects our bodies, to the outcome. And that's why our community, the Black community, the melanin community, has a hard time with forgiveness, because they're still so, I'll say it until the cows come home. If people don't know what that means, when the cow comes home, it means it's ready to be milked. And that's because it's time. So when the cows come home, if you don't milk it, the cow will get sick and burst and die. So if you don't milk this trauma that we have in our personal lives, our community lives, we will burst. And we are bursting now. We burst because we do things to other people because everyone's heard this phrase, hurt people, right? Do you know why that is? It's because it's a sickness you're holding within yourself. And that sickness comes from your internal self. If you don't deal with that internal sickness, you're going to continue to hurt people whether you want to or not.
But Dr. Dyer, let me jump in and say this. I hear you, but sometimes I think we find it difficult to take the first step towards changing that behavior, changing how we feel in that way. What kind of advice might you, or how would you point us, or where do you point us, or what do we do to change things, really? And what is that first step?
It's to be okay with feeling weak or vulnerable. Those words in the many communities, in the Black community, it feels like you're going to be sold off as another slave. You feel like someone can take advantage of you, you get resistance and you create a resilience. I am not as happy as
Hard
about
enough.
When people, but I am not happy about when people talk about the African or the Black community or the melanin community, or however you want to say it, Black folk, right? They're so resilient. You know what? That word is good and it's also a negative. Just because you can harden up and still push on through because someone's been whipping you like the whipping boy doesn't mean it's a good thing. It just means you can you can pick up and keep moving. But there's got to be a time in your life where you feel sad about being whipped, about being beaten, by being abused, by being, you know, decimated, by being fired, by being broken up with. Whatever those things are, you got to be okay with feeling the weak and vulnerable, saying, this hurt me.
Wow. Well, Dr. Dyer, I have to say, as always, this is one of those discussions that has many legs to it. And this is what we really wanted to get in with you. And I'm also going to ask my big brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, on this. When it comes to forgiveness in our community, but also in business. Why does it seems to me, and maybe this is just me, but some kind of double standard almost sometimes seem to exist when you are, let me just say, when somebody makes a mistake as a minority business, we're not really given a second chance. You know what
not
I mean?
At all.
We are out
not
the
right.
door. We call them every name of
off.
The sun.
Yes.
And, you know, and I just noticed that we seem to have a little bit more patience and understanding
and dealing with communities that are, you know, other communities. And so I said, what is this about? What is this about?
I'm going to tell you.
Wow.
It's emotional.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's bring in my dear brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, to chime in and join and be part of this convo today, because this is big stuff. And then a little later, I want to ask my dear brother about safety and the idea of, you know, being for the whole family on personal safety and all of that these days. Without further ado, joining the big talk today, it's Friday, October 7th. We're live. It's our show number 769. And coming to the line to join all of us, my dear brother, Dr. Leroy Hines. Dr. Leroy, good morning, big brother.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Dyer. How are you doing?
How are you doing, my brother? How are you doing?
And
brother, I'm doing well.
Yeah. Brother Lee, you're on with Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good morning. Yeah.
Nicole.
Oh,
how you,
yes,
how are you?
Great. Good morning.
Great. Yes, great, Dr. Hines.
Yes, it's always good to have you to join us. So, listen, I don't know if you heard any of that, Brother Lee. I'm going to call you Brother Lee. So I don't know if you heard any of that this morning, but you know, when it comes to business, you know, in your opinion, too, and then we're going to get back to Dr. Dyer, of course, because I know he had more to say on this. But, you know, is it hard? Do you find it hard to forgive people? I mean, you are a big businessman out there and all kinds of things going on. What do you say? Are there times that you had to forgive people and maybe you didn't want to in business or anything like that?
No. It all depends on what we call forgiven and the nature of what we're forgiving someone for. Number one is that if somebody is in a business and, or, well, let's put it this way, first of all, and like I heard you said earlier that there seemed to be a double standard out there. Definitely there is a double standard. You know, it obviously, I mean, you could pull lots of examples where about maybe entrepreneurs like singers or something like that have actually maybe have made mistakes and maybe they didn't pay their taxes or something like that. And they have actually paid the price for it. And then you see other folks, as you mentioned, from other communities, they seem to basically just get a little tap on the hand and walk. Or from another standpoint, companies that dump a lot of nonsense in the communities, poor foods, poor, like such as stores and stuff like that. A lot of these stores have outside or exogenous financing that come into the country, that come into our communities. They put all kind of garbage out there, and we're constantly supporting them. And then when it comes to, like, maybe some of our own stores, we may not support them, maybe because, like, the prices are just a little higher because we don't have those distribution outlets. But the quality of the stuff is better. I'm going to go personal on this one right here. If someone basically maligned the community in which I live, that's it. They don't get a second chance. And I know it sounds kind of like mean, but that's just it. And the reason why
I think you got me beat.
Yeah, they don't get a second chance because the fact is that they know what they're doing. It's all part of business for them. And we have a tendency to be forgiven to folks really easy. And as a community, we really have to stand up to stuff like that. You know, you know, I mean, believe me, if it was the other way around in other communities, they would stand up.
Wow, this
you know,
is true.
So,
wow.
So I know. After this, I'm not going to have a fan base after this.
Oh, you got to win everybody back, Dr. Leroy Hines, this morning. Dr. Dyer, help him out some on this one. What can you say to add to this?
Well, the thing is that if Dr. Hines is driving the car, I'm in the passenger seat going, yep, let's go, because I agree with him. If you malign our community And here's the thing, my caveat to that is I'll question your intention. Some people don't understand their intent, and they don't know that they are doing it. So that's ignorance on their part, and so I will let them know. It's almost like you can almost tell the drug dealer that is in your community that looks like you, that says, you know what you're doing to your people, and he says, well, I got to get paid. I'm hungry. Well, there's, you know, so you're like, I understand why you're doing this. I disagree with it, but he's not doing it to harm people, but do you know you're harming your people? You know what I mean? Do you know? And so that's like the endless circle conversation that you have with a person that maligns the community, whether it be something selling out tenements, selling out drugs. I think if you do it intentionally to earn the money, but you also, it goes back to, I said emotional slavery before. We're so hardwired since we've been in here since the 1500s that we will sell out another Negro so we can get the approval of the white man and our captives. So we are still captive to this enslavement mentally. That's why we will sell someone out so we can get in favor of our captives. We are still stuck in that little rut there. And that has a lot to do with not understanding why you do the things you do, which means you have no understanding about your purpose and your intent. And that's emotional disconnect. I kind of go back to a lot of things we do has a lot to do with emotional disconnect with who you are and understanding your acceptance, which goes back to forgiveness.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that. Listen, I have to ask you guys, because you both are, you know, very much into, I know you have that in common, a big thing, which is martial arts. I know I would love for you to tell, if you don't mind, I know I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but I want to get into the topic, if you guys don't mind, a little bit. I saw some things on TV, and I said, you know, we have to remind everybody about safety and what are some of the things that folks can do, even maybe as a family, whether it's personal safety or even at work and things. You know, we just need to pay attention to our surroundings. But what else can we do? And I said, I got to go to the experts on this one. And Dr. Leroy Hines, I know you have commented on stuff like this before on our show. And we just want to remind everybody about personal safety. And you have a wonderful business and all of that. I want you to just tell folks a little bit about that as well, if you don't mind.
Hold on, Brother Hines. I want to, before Brother Hines, I'm going to let him go. We have to remind people, this is different between martial artists and martial scientists and people who care about what they do about safety. There's a very distinctive difference. And I know Brother Hines is going to get into that because there are martial artists out there who don't care about safety, they're going to get people hurt. They're going to get people hurt because they're teaching comical crap. And there's a difference between what we do and what others do. So, and Brother Hines is going to talk about that. I just want to let people know there is a damn difference.
Thank you for that clarification, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you did that because he's absolutely correct. You know, when we talk about modern day martial artists or martial science and those folks that teaches this, we're talking about somebody who understands in and of itself all of the dangers and their potentials, because there's a lot of things you can't see and stuff like that, but they're potentially there. And we're talking about active shooter, we're talking about bullying, we're talking about root causes to those kind of things, we're talking about the ability to go into the community and basically spread the whole concept of self-defense or self-protection or how to take care of our families and stuff. So a lot of times, like when you walk into a modern-day school that teaches martial science, you're not really going to be walking into some karate school that's going to basically tell you to get out there and fight this guy, or be able to fight to the death, and, you know, thinking that you're going to get out there and you're going to be able to defend yourself. It's important to understand that, and this is just one kind of danger I'm talking about. The people who may be presenting danger to you another criminal or not even a criminal, but some individual on the street who's coming up to someone, those individuals, they got confidence in what they do also. That's why they do what they do, because they feel that they can do certain things. And these things are taken for granted in terms of training individuals. When you teach someone the concept of self-defense, you're looking at all of the dangers and their potentials. You're teaching them how to conduct themselves regardless, whether they're in a car and driving, BWD, driving while black, or BWB, I'm trying to use the new terms that I'm learning. So you're teaching how to protect yourself under those type of situations. You may be in corporate America, somewhere within the yoke of corporate America. Well, you got to understand how to survive within corporate America. And you got to be able to fight up under a street light, on a corporate boardroom, or in a law, or you may be a lawyer and in a courtroom. It doesn't really matter. It's that concept of being able to defend yourself, which is really important. And that's what the modern-day martial arts instructor is teaching. If you're training children, it's the same thing. I mean, a lot of times people say, we teach your kids how to fight. No. What you want to do is basically teach your children to connect with themselves. Someone earlier, I think it may have been Dr. Dyer, who mentioned about being in touch with yourself, being able to understand that, you know, being able to grasp that self-awareness, self-confidence, self-assuredness, and stuff like that. Those are the things that basically prevent you from being harassed and attacked a lot of times on the street as a child. You know, of course, you got other dangers and those potential dangers where somebody could try to snatch you up. But those things have to be taught also within the concept of self-defense. So when we talk about protection, when we talk about modern-day training of individuals and stuff, we're no longer just talking about being in some karate dojo, just throwing kicks, punches, talking like hey, hop, hop, and stuff like that. You know, now on a different level, and just what is about a month ago, you know, I was in the Middle East. I was in Saudi Arabia as well as Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Very recently.
Yeah, and I was actually training a lot of working with some of the military personnel. This friend of mine, who was my professor years ago over in New York, Michel Jouyard, he's from Switzerland. So I met him, actually, and I was actually training some of those guys there. And one of the first things that I was telling them that, like, fighting is ugly, and being able to understand the concept of self-preservation is a hard, very, very difficult thing to basically teach someone. And I learned that. And, Carrie, you know, like coming up in the hood the way we did, it was kind of rough. And we've seen stuff in those streets of Philadelphia and then later on in Newark, New Jersey. It was tough. It was really, really tough. It was a high premium placed on your ability to understand danger and all of its potentials. That would keep you alive in the hood. And it's the same thing. It's the same concept. But the only difference is that that concept now has been somewhat, you may say, illuminated, whereby it could actually reach other different stratas or other different type of activities that may go on with other individuals. But the same concept. If I'm in corporate America, I'm thinking the same way, watching my back. One of the most important things is teaching individuals to have professional decorum and not to get caught up and become part of what you do and think that like, you know, this is me, so that if you lose your job or something, you ain't ready to take your life and take your family or something like that. But people, all of these are dangers and their potentials and have to be taught. Now, obviously, you're not going to have if it's somebody coming to you to learn a certain area of focus in terms of self-defense or concept of self-defense, like maybe like how to protect yourself against a knife or a gun or basically how to fight multiple attackers. Of course, you're not going to go through all of this. But if a person coming up to you, which I have raised children in martial arts, most of them are in their 30s now, that came to me when they were like 5 years old and they're still training. And so when you have situations like that, these folks right here are learning a lifetime of the concept of self-defense, and they're going to get out there and do the same thing in the community, teaching this concept. So when we so let me just to sum this up, what we want to do, we want to think of it as a concept that we learn in terms of watching, being able to take care of ourselves, being able to provide self-preservation. And we want to, but we want to take of this, as we apply this concept, as we embrace this concept, we want to look at all of the dangers and all of the potentials over the horizon that we can't see, that we can imagine that could possibly happen.
Yes. Well, as you talk about these things, Brother Lee, Dr. Leroy Hines, it makes me think, because I've had many conversations with you on your business, and I always love that you have talked about how women play a big part with self-defense and with, you know, learning about personal safety and all of that. And I know it's and I just wanted you to shed some light on it, because, Nicole Marie, this has always been something I know you wanted to find out a little bit more about. Right. What can you say particularly, because you have some experts at your business. I think I even shared one who works with you on all of that throughout our social media. What can you say this morning? Brother Hines.
Sorry about that. Well, let me put it this way. You know, martial arts basically has always been somewhat of more of a, I guess, say a male thing, you know, and, you know, right. You don't, for a long time, you have not seen the representation of women out there at all. You know, right. I mean, if we think back in the day, and I'm going to go back to maybe the 1960s and stuff. If somebody could tell me one martial artist who that's a woman from that era, I'll be stunned. I do know some, but they did not get the notoriety that maybe a Mike Stone or a Chuck Norris and all those guys got.
Right.
What about Jim Kelly?
Was he a real martial artist kind of person?
He's a real martial artist. But let me just say this right here, and you know, like I've done sports martial arts, just like Jim Kelly and just like all those other guys when I was younger. Matter of fact, your niece, my daughter, she did it. But because I recommend that as a child, it's a good thing, you know, it's going around competing. Well, it used to be. I don't know, because I don't do tournaments now that often. But it was a good thing. The concept of self-defense was still being taught, but it was basically the sporting aspect was just an arena or an event that you can actually go and display your wares at, and in a friendly competition and stuff like that. But I know with me, what was always important was teaching my daughters mm. the concept of self-defense,
okay.
how to protect yourself even when you're out on a date. I've even put together material years ago about date rape and things like that, on how to what you should be looking out for, what's really important. And if you notice, I have a lot of women that train for me. Of most of them, I have like African Americans and Latinas, lots of them. And the reason why is because, like, and Native American women. To me, it's extremely important.
Why?
To basically, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's extremely. Huh?
On the training, you said you had a lot of African American women, and why in particular do? Yeah. I think you were going to explain it anyway.
Basically, the balance is really between African American and Latinas, but we do have Native American women too. And we have some white women also. The thing is, we don't do a lot of discrimination whenever it comes to that, because what it is that most of the time women normally looking to belong to something that's fair with guys that's not
right.
that's going to be treating
right.
them in a respectful manner. We're not going
right.
to. Folks have made such a mockery of this whole martial arts. I don't even know what to even say anymore. They take a woman
that's
and put a woman with women, and the women train with the women, where the men train with them. I mean, all that crazy stuff. What it is that we have one standard and one standard only. Whether it's my daughter or whoever it was, they have to adhere to that standard. They have to produce that. They cannot be any paper tigers. when you do, in terms of women, is extremely important, because a lot of times, especially like where we have raised women in the martial arts before, and being able to teach them, give them that confidence, being able to teach them that self-worth. So when they get out there in that job market, although in general women only make, 77 cents to a dollar that a man makes, this right here, exactly. this is no delimiter to them. They get out there, they got the confidence, and they're constantly hearing that from me, and also other guys that are instructors from them, up under me. We constantly pushing that, because that is part of the concept of self-defense, you know. And so when you walk into most of these karate schools, they're jokes. They're teaching you about deadly techniques and secrets of something. I don't know. But the fact is that there's no utility to it. You know,
Brother Hines, let me tell you, Brother Leroy, let me tell you something. You have touched on so many things. I'm up here doing the dance, right? So what I'm going to tell...
I know that dance well. Go ahead. Let's hear what you're going to
say. What I'm going to tell the Hair Radio Morning Show, and again, this goes back to... We're going to build that audience there, Brother Leroy. if you are thinking about taking your kids to any school and you listen to the Hair Morning Radio Show... You know, you could just always put it in the inbox and be between Brother Hines and myself, who've been around this block twice. We know the legitimate schools. We know legitimate teachers. The thing about the martial arts community, it is small. We could put us, the people who are up at our level, you could probably put us in one small minibus. Because we're going to know each other. And we're going to know who is who. And
that's correct.
And the thing about our community, I have no problem calling someone. It doesn't matter what state it is or what corner of the world it is. I will call that instructor and say, "Hey, I'm Grandmaster Dyer, Dr. Dyer. How you doing? Who's your instructor?" Because I guarantee you, I not only know his or her instructor, but their instructor, or we've been connected. So if I believe that you're doing something wrong, I'm going to call you out. And I'm going to call you. I'm going to say that's bull, right? And I'm going to let the people know that who's questioning should I go to that school. I'm like, don't go there. You're going to get yourself killed.
Wow.
And the other thing about defense, and we'll stress this a lot, is mental preparedness and self awareness. Because even if we keep looking at the world as external, you know, someone stopping you in the street out there, but there could be dangers inside your house. There could be abuse inside your house that you're not recognizing. And even as my own personal journey in my life, I have been abused, and I didn't recognize it until someone says, hey, Brother Paul, what are you doing? Like, why are you in this situation? I'd be like, I never thought it was this because I thought I could handle it. But it's not about handling it. It's recognizing the abuse and then dealing
with
it.
That's right.
That's also part of that self-awareness.
Wow. I'm just blown away at this discussion today. I really am, and I love it. Thank you, because you're helping folks. That's what I love most about it. You're helping folks and making us think. And, and these were things that had kind of gone through my mind, and I wanted to get some I know I had to go to you guys on this, and I knew it would be a great conversation for Friday. Now, I've had him on the hot seat today. We've asked quite a bit of you, dear brother, for your expertise today. And when you join us on the show, I got to get all the information and all the wonderful things out from you, you know, to share with everybody. And I know that I would be remiss if I do not talk about the economy and our community and the entrepreneurship and these small businesses. I always have to come back to you on that. So I'm looking at a lot of things and the prices of, what we're dealing with, and everybody at home as well, but particularly like the businesses. And what can we say? Is there any relief? What can you tell us, like, on the status right now of the economy and how, what direction are we going into? Are things getting better or are they not getting better? because if you just watch the news, you're just getting one angle. What do you say about this? You're a trained economist, so that's why I'm asking Dr. Hines on this.
Yeah, I knew you was going to do that. Yeah, but anyway, like I'm gonna try to give you the short of it. Yeah and no. Things are, to some extent, things are returning to normal since COVID-19 and all the supply chain issues. But then the war in the Ukraine kind of really got things jacked up. And one of the things in which I've actually, believe me or not, a lot of times when I tell people this, they don't believe me. And I usually pull out a paper I wrote like about 1990, and where I talked about a Mao burger, where about someday we'll be eating a Mao Zedong burger and stuff like that. And I was over in New York in class, and I remember a guy got upset with me. He said, "You don't understand." I said, "No, you don't understand the new dynamic." Well, because of the war, there has been sort of like an attempt to kind of like isolate certain countries like Russia and, you know, Belarus and a whole number of different satellite states and all that kind of stuff. But what it is that you can't do that because there's an alternative system to the Swiss system out there. It has been for a long time. And the Russians have been on that. And I wrote extensively, and I told people in the D.C. area in meetings over and over and over and over again that we're going to get blowback from this. Because when you try to take that oil off the market, and you're going to artificially try to tell people, set these kind of production quotas, that ain't going to hold. Because their economies are threatened by that. Because their economies, you can't produce a lot of oil out there if you're Saudi Arabia or Nigeria or Venezuela or somebody like that just to appease the United States government. So you, to calling yourself trying to hurt the Russians, you may be able to do that for a month or two, but sooner or later, the rubber band going to pop, and you're going to have to get back to the normal production because the market, the free market, is the most efficient, least coercive social allocator of oil. You can't do politics with oil. You can't do it. So what's going to happen is what you're seeing is the prices are going back up. Exactly. But oil is a component of producing everything. So the inflation, yeah, we had a crazy president before who put trigger price mechanisms on all kind of stuff coming out of China and stuff like that. But that did not do as much damage as the oil has done. But what's even more important, which I'm not going to totally get into, this is another show, is the root cause.
Because
we don't have to be here. We don't really have to be here at this juncture. We're here at this juncture because individuals want to, they think in an old type way. And they're thinking in a what I call a Vulcan type way. We're about, we thought in the 1960s against the Russians and stuff like that, and we behaved in a manner, and I say we as a country, we behaved, well, not as we as a country, but we as a government, we behaved in a way in 2021 that we should not have. But what it is that somewhere along the line, you can ask me what was that we did, and this will paint the picture because this is not what's being told. So now who's got to pay the price for all of this?
I was about to say, at the end of the line, it screwed up our economy. We're dealing with it day to day.
What about Somalia? What about Somalia? Yeah. Somalia is facing famine because of it. What about all of the Horn of Africa who relies tremendously on grain and stuff? Hey, you know what? Let me just say this right here. When you have a situation and like a lot of that grain is not being able to get to where it's supposed to be, which grain is another component that's used in a lot of other things. Well, what happens is that people start using substitutes, corn start being used sometime and things like that for chicken feed and all that kind of stuff and other cereal to feed animals. And now all of a sudden you got prices going up all over the place. And that's what you can see in that continuous upwards movement of price, which is called inflation. So what we're getting basically is some very, very short-sightedness policy. But we're not upset about that. We're just as happy because somebody has broken us off some things. We got a black vice president. We got a black chief justice. So we're all happy. Why should we be all upset? Just the price is going up. Let's just accept it.
We definitely want to hear what you guys out there have to say on this. I got to tell everybody, because I always love when you go in and kind of peel back a few layers on international things that are happening and how it affects us here in America and vice versa. I got to tell everybody real quick before we end at the end of the week here on the show. Well, we close off at 9, so we're kind of winding on down. And I just want to thank everybody. Let me just get that on out first. But Dr. Leroy Hines, I got to say, I go back to this story real quick on you giving me information way back when. I was a little kid in school doing, I think, U.S. history or something, and there was a big war going on with the Falkland Islands outside of, I think it was Argentina, I believe. But it was a big war where Great Britain was fighting Argentina over the Falkland Islands. And
I prefer to call them the Malvinas, but go ahead.
Exactly. Yep. Islas Malvinas. And I remember coming to my dear brother and I asked you about all this. He gave me so much information, such an incredible resource. I got up in front of the class, just aced it. They were begging me, who is your source? How do you know all that information? And it was because of what you did. You helped me. It literally transformed my thinking. It transformed. It just created so much, it just made me think very highly of your intellect. This is back then being a kid and growing up. So I just want to say thank you. My dear brother presented me with an award at my show back in 2019. I've never forgotten that moment. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Let me tell you, that's one of my roles as a big brother.
Thank you. Well, you've done it well, sir. You've done it well.
I was going to ask Dr. Dyer because I think he was going to comment on that because I would really like to hear his comment.
Well, we have enough time for it. Dr. Dyer, weigh in. We'd love to hear what you got to say.
Brother Leroy is right, because the thing about what we get broken off was like, here, take a piece of these crumbs while we systematically take everything away from you, especially when it comes to wheat. And I want people to do their researches on the Russian wheat and how it's affected the global economy. But here's where we go back to the entrepreneurship. There are certain communities that have insulated themselves somewhat. Right? And the black community has never insulated themselves. So it goes back to how come we don't support each other? Because I'm not even going to mention the other communities' names, but people know who they are and what they are and what they do and how they do it. But they have insulated themselves in supporting each other. So even as the times get rougher and rougher, you got to learn how to insulate your community with people you love, trust, and care about. And you have to learn how to forgive. And so the whole show goes into a circle of format of going from forgiveness to the economic decline. We can go into economic decline, but if you're not connected to your community, you're going to be out. And that's what they have.
Wow. Well,
I totally agree with that. I know that Dr. Dyer would knock that out of the park.
Always. Well, you know what? You guys are like a 1-2 tag team here on this show. I have to give it to you. Right? Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins,
you guys have been listening. Definitely a tag team.
Yeah, you guys, you bring it with the information that we so desperately need to learn. And you help with the education here, the education process. Yes, we appreciate it. And we, like I said, we watch the TV news. We talk a little bit about things here and there. And it's just a welcome, refreshing addition to the broadcast. So thank you both. Outstanding job today on the show. Dr. Leroy Hines, what's next for you? What do you have on the plate? And you've inspired a segment here. I'm going to share with you a little bit later in the day. We'll talk about that. But what's next for you?
Well, right now, like Sunday, One of my associates, Grandmaster Ken Bank, he's gonna be highlighting or basically having a discussion on bullying, and it's gonna be pretty good. You know, Ken, you never met Ken before, but you know, the rest of the family.
I think I heard of him.
No,
I'm
pretty well.
Yeah.
Like he's he's originally from Oklahoma. And, you know, him and I, we spent quite a lot of time training together. But also, when I'm out in Oklahoma, like, he usually, like, introduced me to all of the folks he works with. He's into law enforcement, but he has also taken a police pal and used that as a vehicle to help poor children with. And a lot of them, I mentioned I have a lot of Native Americans or some Native Americans, a lot of Hispanics, and that's because of him. And it's really like over the last like 15 years, it's been a tremendous experience. I mean, a lot of times when I'm out there, I'm going into the Board of Education, into schools, talking, giving pep talks to kids and stuff like that. And for the first time, I've seen a number of kids go from ninth grade all the way through 12th grade. And, you know, then I've even seen some graduate college now. And since that time, man. So it's really been a great experience. But he's going to discuss bullying and all of it, all of the potentials with regard to that, not just children, but grown-ups also. Dr. Dyer mentioned earlier about sometimes you don't really know that you are in a situation like that, and going to discuss those kind of things. And I'm looking forward to it, you know.
Yeah, I hope you can give me that information. We'll do so after today's show.
Okay. Tell you what I'm going to do, because I have not – I'll go online and I'll set up the meeting so that this way here I'll give you the link, and maybe you could put the link out there for people who would love
to
join.
Because
usually I put it on Facebook, but I didn't put it on Facebook this time. One reason I was really busy this week.
Well, Dr. Leroy Hines, let me just say thank you. I'm going to get that in before this cuts us on off. To Dr. Paul Dyer, thank you. Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, our entire team. Outstanding show today. And I'll put everything over on our Hair Radio online community at hairadio.com a little later today. I'll catch up with Dr. Paul Dyer. I'll catch up with my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, and we'll put all the information on what he was just talking about over there. We'll see you guys on Tuesday, 6 o'clock in the morning, for the next edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Here's our outro. We'll see you back here. Thanks, guys. Thank you, everybody. Great
show.
Bye.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers.